पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर सुखासी गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
So here this is important point, huh? Through Muchakunda, Sri Krishna destroyed the opposition, barbarian. So this is always the situation in life. One has to take, one thing is always said, don't blame Krishna for your misfortune or our suffering in this world. One of the first steps you have to learn in Krishna consciousness. So this is part of even the materialistic society. In the 12-step program, the first thing you learn is you have to take responsibility for what's going on. Because until you come to that point, you can't make progress. Unfortunately, this happens, that we see others who have caused this are suffering, blaming, always in a situation where something happens to us, blame it on someone else, because of them, I'm in this situation. So especially in Krishna consciousness, if we want to make advancement, we have to understand that anything that happens to me, it can happen through different agencies, our own parents, we abuse this, whatever we may be, and we think our situation is how I was dealt with. But our situation is always due to our own karma. And it's described that one who accepts that, a devotee who accepts his suffering and performs his devotional service without any stoppage, he just sees that because of my past sinful activities, I'm in this situation, I'm suffering. But he goes on and performs his devotional service, always praying for the mercy of the Lord. His path back to Godhead is guaranteed. Talking to some of them about my wife who passed away. And I saw that quality in her. You know, it went on for a very long time, for a year. She was suffering with cancer. And she had this very wonderful quality, kshatriya-type quality, that she never complained about, even though so much pain was there. It was increasing and increasing. And it got to the point in the last 6 months where I would have to lift her up to do anything. Lifting became more and more of a struggle as her became weaker and weaker. She had cancer in her hips. So her very motion, her walking, her movement, standing, everything became impossible in the time. And the only thing she would ever say was, I must have done some really terrible things, she said. But she accepted it. She accepted it and she never complained. And she just tried to carry on. We were actually doing transcription work. We were checking transcriptions of Prabhupada's audio tapes from the archives, unpublished lectures by Prabhupada, which hadn't been gone over yet. So together we would listen to the lectures. Of course, I had been with Srila Prabhupada for some time, so I had a very good ear to pick up Prabhupada's language, Prabhupada's speaking. Surprised how many mistakes there are in the course of transcription, because it's done very quickly as Prabhupada's speaking. You just go. So many things distinct. But, you know, in this way, even in the final months, we were sitting in bed. That's all she could do was sit in bed, and we would sit together, and I would play these tapes listening to Srila Prabhupada, and continue trying to do whatever service we could do. So this is the consciousness. As Prabhupada said, there are no difficulties. He would often get so many different letters. One letter, one disciple wrote to Prabhupada and said, there are some stumbling blocks in my path. Krishna consciousness, said they're making it difficult for me. Prabhupada's response, he said, there are no stumbling blocks. Krishna. He said, there's only service to this. And he said, any stumbling blocks that may be there, he said, I kicked them away. He said, with one kick, I can kick away all your stumbling blocks. He said, but you have to be prepared to take my instruction, you have to follow my advice. He said, then there's no, so this is Krishna consciousness. It's not material, it's not a mechanical process. It's a process of surrender to accept his instructions. And if you accept his instructions, in any condition, just like my wife, you can't move. Still there's something, somehow or other, if you want to do service, Krishna will engage you in service. And with her, there was a point where she was so bad, we would just surround her in the bed. And of course, everyone would have these faces. You know, dealt with it very well. But actually, she was, you could see the realization that was being given to her by Srila Prabhupada, and she accepted it, and now she understood it. And when she said that, I remembered what Prabhupada had said in 1977, when there was very little time left. And he said the same thing, as everyone would come in with that same look, and come in and you would just cry, seeing Srila Prabhupada, it's just literally his body was just skin and bones. And Prabhupada said, why are you bothered? He said, I'm an old man. He said, this is natural. He said, this is what happens. He said, when you're old, he said, disease and then old age and then death comes. He said, but don't think it won't happen to you. And this is always a great mystery, not a great wonder. It's just beautiful. Mm-hmm. He said, the great wonder is everyone's dying around us, but somehow or other we think we're not going to die. It was 2 years before Mekola left, and we were at a festival, a Baltic Sea Festival. It was July of 2008, and all over Eastern Europe, one week after another, you can go to another country, there's another festival. And at these festivals, there'll be anywhere from 500 to 5,000 devotees, depending on the country it's in. Bring devotees from all around, sannyasis, gurus, whatever. Ravi Jai has been there, I've been there, different seminars. And this is like their Mayapur festival that they would have, because they can't travel to India to the festival. Devotees, there's not a lot of money there. So this is their big summer festivals. So we happened to be at this particular festival. That year we went to 4 different festivals. While we were there, this Baltic Sea Festival, Devaki Mataji was there. And that was the first time she invited us to Bangladesh festival for the first time. But she invited us to this festival. And when she did, this was July 2008. As soon as she said it, she said, I want you to come and talk about Srila Prabhupada. It would really be wonderful, she said. And she said, I want your wife to come. She said, and we'll provide tickets at the festival. She said it. My wife went, I just dreamt about Prabhupada. She said, it's only the third dream, she said, I ever had. About 30 years she had dreams. They were all very wonderful, amazing dreams. But she said, this dream, she said, Prabhupada said to me, you have to accept all invitations to travel and preach, because there's not much time left. And she woke up. She said, so I guess we should accept this invitation. This was the dream. And then she said, what do you think it means? And none of us thought any, we were trying to think of what it meant. There's not much time left, so you have to travel and preach. This was an instruction. So she said, maybe there's going to be a war soon. World War III, we're always talking about war coming, and we won't be able to travel, we won't be able to get planes, we won't be able to get flights. And then we knew, of course, or maybe there'll be a big depression, a big recession, there'll be no money, people won't have money to be able to fly and travel. And then she looked at me and she smiled and she said, well, maybe it will be done. And then we're like, I can't do that. We're 55 years old, healthy, we're both healthy, strong, traveling around. So we dismissed that very quickly, because it's the nature of the spirit soul. Huh? The spirit soul never dies. It's never born, it never dies. So it's actually natural for us to not consider that we're going to die, because we don't die. But this body, as Prabhupada would say, from the very moment it's born, it's dying. He would say these things when I was young, before him, in lecture after lecture. Prabhupada was so heavy. You know, so intense sometimes, and you say these things. You're born, if you're 6 months old, he said, it means you've been dying for 6 months. It's a very heavy statement, you know. For the time you're born, he would just say, you're dying. So every day is just another day. Your body is dying from the very time it's born. But somehow or other, we never think we're going to die. So even though that instruction was there, Prabhupada came and told her, and that was July 2008. He left 20 months later. And that whole 20 months, that's what we did, is we would get invitations. We accepted every invitation that came, because Prabhupada said, accept all invitations to travel and preach. So we took it very seriously. And it wasn't from July 2008, it was from the beginning of 2009. Some pain, started to feel some pain, but we continued to travel all the way together until John Mastomi of 2009. So until September of 2009, we were both traveling together, accepting invitations, going to temples, and doing our service in that way. And later on, when I thought about it, which I didn't even think about it until just a few months ago, when again, Devaki Mataji, she invited me to Bangladesh Festival, and she mentioned this dream. I had forgotten all about it, but she wrote it down in a diary because she thought it was very, very wonderful. It was about Prabhupada and very interesting. So she sent me her diary entry. And the more I looked at it, the more I thought how wonderful instruction this was by Srila Prabhupada. Because he said there's not much time left. He knew no matter what was going to happen, there wasn't a lot of time left for her. She was going to leave her body. But his instruction was very nice. Because what did he say? He said, travel and preach. This was the instruction. It was very much what Srila Prabhupada would say. And this is how you understand instructions when they come. Even in a dream, as Prabhupada would say, if we can accept them. And he said, if it goes with Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, then you can understand. Yes, Prabhupada made an appearance. But the instruction wasn't, well, you're going to be gone soon. Go to Vrindavan, chant Hare Krishna, and prepare. Instruction was to continue with your devotional service. And our devotional service was traveling and glorifying Srila Prabhupada all around the world. So we took that very seriously, and we continued in that way to just travel and preach. As this is what, again, Srila Prabhupada did, the example he gave us. I was always there. You know, to the very end, Prabhupada was still doing his translating work. He was having the microphone put up to him as he was lying in bed, and he was still doing the translating. So this is always our business. Whatever condition is going on, whatever bodily condition may be there, whatever difficulties are there, we perform our devotional service. And within this ISKCON society, Prabhupada's mission is very, very clear. The preaching mission, so many times, so many instructions given by Srila Prabhupada. He would always quote his spiritual master in that temple in Bombay. And they were already, before it was finished, they were already fighting over who was going to stay in what room. This is what was going on. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Bhakti. And Prabhupada heard the instruction very, very clearly. His instruction was, I'd rather sell all these bricks and marble and print books, distribute books. Because this was his business, was distributing books, spreading Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada said, I took that up. Prabhupada, whatever his spiritual master would say, he took very, very seriously. And this is the method for success in Krishna consciousness, to take the instruction of the spiritual master to heart, life and soul of the devotee, and to take it very, very seriously. And then we do that, then all success will be there. Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj had an instruction from Prabhupada to develop Bhaktivedanta Institute. So Bhaktivedanta Institute was a very special branch that Srila Prabhupada had set up within the society, by the society, to write in a scientific way, to present Krishna consciousness very scientifically. He trained Maharaj up in so many ways, so many morning walks. He spent so many hours and hours speaking to him, educating him, instructing him how to present Krishna consciousness to the scientific community. So this was his business. And he actually provided Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj with funding from Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. He was the only person, the only society, the only satellite of the entire society that the BBT was to provide money for. BBT had two businesses. Money would go to India for building temples, and the other 50% was print books, print more books. Money had to come in from the temples, whatever that was there. Prabhupada was very strong. He'd print books, more books. But then the other money was going to India to construct these temples in Vrindavan and Mayapur. The one exception was Bhaktivedanta Institute. Prabhupada said that funds should come from BBT to provide money to Bhaktivedanta Institute to develop for the scientific community. But even while Prabhupada was here, as time went on, this was something that became not very desirable to do. They found it very difficult to give him money, because money was always tight, and it's always going this way, that way. So they found it a difficult thing to do, to follow these instructions, and sometimes it would make it difficult for Maharaj. So in 1977, he went to Srila Prabhupada, and he said this same question as well, and he said, Prabhupada, he said, how? He said, how do we do our service? He said, when there's so many difficulties. He said, my godbrothers, he said, they're making it a little difficult. And Prabhupada said, there are no difficulties. He said, there's only service to the spiritual master. This is very important instruction to understand. It's something, when we came to Krishna consciousness back there in the 60s and the 70s, we would hear this all the time. Now, there's no material impediment in the process of devotional service. And that's what it means. There's no impediment to make progress in Krishna consciousness. The only impediment is what we make ourselves, what we make up in our heads, and can give us difficulty. Otherwise, the instruction is there by the spiritual master. You follow the instruction, and you depend on Krishna for the result. Today I put a letter on the internet, a very wonderful letter. It was a letter to all temple presidents in ISKCON, all the temple presidents. It said immediately you should have a program, Prabhupada said, there should be two or three expert cooks in every temple, and they should have available for anyone that comes, any guest, prasadam. And that prasadam, he said, should be puri, sabji. He said, and if possible, you can also make halva and pakoras. He said, in batches from 10 to 20. He said, so when anyone comes to visit the temple, they should receive prasadam. He said, the temple is being managed by Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani, what she does? She's the best cook for Krishna. She's always cooking. He said, she's Lakshmi. He said, so what is the one? He said, if we think that we're dependent on some outside sources, that we're doing things, he said, then of course that's a problem. He said, but Krishna is not poor. He said, Krishna is providing everything. He said, so this should be available, he said, every day for people that come. He said, and as soon as that batch is being distributed and taken, he said, then they make another batch for 10 to 20 people. He said, then at the end of the day, whatever is left, that can be taken by the devotees. He said, or you can sell it or give it away. He said, but all through the day, he said, prasadam should be available. He said, Krishna is not poor. But if we think that Krishna is not doing, that we're the doers, then of course we become entangled in having to take the responsibility to figure out how to manage things. We think we're the doer, but the actual understanding is the doer. Krishna, always say this, Krishna is not a poor man. He has everything. And in the process of sacrifice, of course, in doing that, Prabhupada said this in a BTG article back in the 50s. He talked about using ghee in fire sacrifice. And he said, ghee should be offered. And you offer ghee to Lord Vishnu. He said, and in the offering, he said, then ghee will come as well. Krishna will provide. Krishna provides everything. He's also providing all the necessities for everything. He said, what to speak of the devotees? Everyone is being supplied by Krishna. He's not going to provide his devotees. So in this, he said, you offer ghee in the fire. He said, and Krishna provides so many things that he has ghee. And at that time, he even talked about oil, cooking oil. This is in the 50s. And Prabhupada mentions that he said that this oil, he said, is very bad. He said, and it's a carcinogen, carcinogenic actually. Oil, once it's used, you can't reheat oil. Ghee, you can use over and over, you add to it. And it's a wonderful cooking medium. He said, but oil, and it's known, today they'll say that once it reaches a certain temperature and it's heated, it actually becomes carcinogenic. Which is not only not nice, but it can cause illness. All these things are there, but it's all just understanding Krishna's doer. Our job is just to try to serve. Whatever result is there, that's up to Krishna, Mati Radharani. We always say that when we head to Vrindavan, you can't buy a ticket to Vrindavan. You can buy a ticket, it doesn't mean you'll get there, but only Srimati Radharani, she allows you, then you can get entrance to Vrindavan Dham. You have to see everything. Then that's how you become Krishna Kanapaya. It's the beginning process, how to see Krishna. The other day I mentioned, what do you see when you see the sky? What's everyone see now? Krishna. Because Prabhupada said it's blue because it's reflecting Krishna's bodily effulgence. Very easy to see Krishna. It's not a difficult thing. We just think and use our intelligence. It's there. But this was a very wonderful letter when I read this today, and I thought, how much we think that. It actually, we're the doers. Where is everything coming from? Prabhupada never minded. Even devotees, they would talk about getting this temple, that temple, and talk about the rents. And Prabhupada would say, just do it. Krishna will provide. As long as we're sincere. This is always our, always the processing. And then it was Tumal Krishna Maharaj, he said to Prabhupada one day, he said, we were in Calcutta. So he was confused. He said, Prabhupada, you say that ghee is for the inside of the body and oils for the outside. He said, so he said, here in the Bengalis, he said, they always use mustard oil in cooking. He said, how is that? And Prabhupada said, oh, he said, it's very tasty. So Prabhupada had an attraction to that as well. But he also was very careful. When I was with Prabhupada, he talked about how I had met Pishima, his sister, Bhavatarini. So as Prabhupada said, she was a very expert cook. She learned from her mother how to cook, so she cooked very wonderful things. And when we were in Calcutta, we cooked for Prabhupada. We cooked in a very special way. Prabhupada said, very simple, a little spice, a little bit of ghee in the chances. But on a daily basis, he ate very simple rice, chapatis, dal, and some sabji every day. That was his diet. So when Prabhupada arrived in Calcutta, she would cook for him. Like I said, she loved Prabhupada very, very much. A big brother. And she was so attached to him. So she would come to the temple every day. And we never had oil in the temple, just ghee. Every temple was just ghee. That's what we had from the very beginning. And she had her, of course, she was very short and very heavy, and she had that Bengali-style sari, just wrapped around and around, like 10 yards of cloth, you know, just a white sari. And she would bring mustard oil with her, and she would just tuck it into her sari, because we didn't allow mustard oil. So she would smuggle it into the temple, and then she would cook for Prabhupada as well. And of course, she would make them all kinds of Bengali preparations, and everything was with mustard oil. She would make shukta, which she liked very much. Shukta was a wet vegetable. Of course, bitter melon was a big part of it. You know, everything was deep fried. Bitter melon was deep fried in long pieces of eggplant, long. And they were deep fried, boiled, and everything was in. So it was very bitter. And bitter melon, mustard oil, which had also a very kind of bitter taste. But Prabhupada liked it. He was raised on that. So she would cook these things. So then, when Prabhupada was ready for lunch, I would bring him in the plate of prasadam that we had prepared, and then I would bring in what she had prepared for Prabhupada. And this went on for a few days. Like I said, everything was three. So this went on for 3 days. So then the third day came, and Prabhupada's sitting down, I bring in his plate, and this plate that we had prepared on the table, and I go back out, and I got a Pishima's plate, and she would make kachoris. She deep fry everything in mustard oil as well. So then I bring that in. And as I was bringing it into the door, Prabhupada said, stop. He said, I don't want that. He said, my sister, she's trying to kill me. And then he said, he looked at me and he said, you eat it. And me, I was always sick in India. I was like, you know, as soon as I arrived at the airport, I was already sick. That was my consciousness. So he said, you eat it. He said, I can't eat it. And I said, I can't eat it. Immediately, I just answered, it was one of the few times where I just said, you know, I said, I can't eat this. He said, well, just distribute it to the others. He said, but don't bring it in here. He said, she wants to kill me. He said, she's trying to poison me. And but the thing was, Prabhupada liked it, and that's why he said, "Don't bring it in," because if I brought it in and sat it down, he was going to eat it, you know, like Prabhupada said. This one servant said, "Prabhupada said it's so difficult to control my tongue." Prabhupada said, "I have a tongue," which meant you don't have to tell me it's difficult to control the tongue. I also have a tongue. You know, it's difficult to control the tongue. So in this way, he said, "Get it out of here." But her consideration was, Prabhupada can digest nails. That's how Prabhupada, because he was completely transcendental, so he could digest nails if he wanted. What to speak of mustard oil? But anyway, Prabhupada put a stop to it at that time. It caused difficulties in digestion. He said. So our whole process is just follow the instructions of the spiritual master. Very simple. Chant Hare Krishna. We follow the instructions of the spiritual, and you have faith. And that's what he said in this letter. He said, if you don't do this, he said, then it means you don't have faith that Krishna's arranging everything, is providing everything. So that's a leap of faith to not be worried and think, if I just follow the instructions and just perform my service, the result is up to Krishna. Because all I can do is follow his instructions through his spiritual master. So we have to take that. It's at some point, the various degrees, you have to put up both arms. Whatever you want, dependent on you, and nothing else. You can see practically everything works. Traveling all over the world, do you ever have a time you're not eating or sleeping? You always get a place to stay, right? It's always prasad. That's what I find. If I just do service, everything's fine. But then if I start to think I have to make arrangements for myself to provide, then it becomes gated. It's like, then it becomes difficult, because then you're on your own. But actually, if we just render service, if we fix our mind, just 24 hours doing service, it's amazing how things provided for. Any questions? Comments? Yes?
Pishima, she was a junior sister or
younger sister.
Last in family.
I suppose, yes, yeah, she was younger sister.
Because once Prabhupada said, she's the more devoted than me, because her husband was a she was also a husband.
Just served her husband, yeah. Yes, that was there. She was disciple. She was God's sister. Prabhupada's God's sister. She was initiated. She was a Vaishnavi. Prabhupada said, him and his sister, he said, all they ever wanted to do was be devotees. He said, in others, he said he had other brothers. He said they wanted to make lots of money and have a long life. And he said they didn't get either. He said, but it's all we wanted to do. He said, we'll be devotees. He said, and we have very nice life and very long life. But he was saying now, you just be devotee to everything. You know, you can want so many things separately. Without Krishna's sanction, nothing can happen. He said, we had no interest in money. He said, long life. And he said, I have temples all over the world, so much money has come, and live a very nice long life. The system, everything is up to you. Independently try to want something, Krishna doesn't sanction, nothing can. He mentioned others in the family, he said they wanted a long life, so I don't know if brothers, sisters, or others. Do you know what his family tree was, Prabhupada's?
How many brothers? Is that what he's asking?
Anyway, he said others were there. Prabhupada never talked, didn't talk hardly at all about his family. His sister, she was there, so, you know, yes. Perplexed.
Yeah, you look at different letters of Prabhupada, which have very nice instructions. We want to, you know, reach these goals, but other authorities might come in and say different, and then as visitors come and say something different, the devotees say something different. Kind of difficult. In my service sometimes to see which, when is the guru really speaking, or what is the main importance to follow the spiritual master and just depend on Krishna. Because I know if I make my own plans, then everything goes wrong. But with all this information coming in, I have a difficulty.
Now, Prabhupada set up a system of management, of course, that he wanted followed. But within doing that, we can also have our own desires, we say, how we want to try to implement all of Prabhupada's instructions, you know, without making, just like me, I'm traveling all over, you know, temples all around the world. I know in my travels over the years, there's four different temples that stopped using oil completely in the temple because they took it to heart. Prabhupada, from the very beginning, 1966, he was buying butter, making ghee. You know, he would write in his diary, you know, $1.29 on butter, you know, 10 cents on salt, 15 cents. Everything he did, he recorded it. It was nothing at all. There was no money at all. But he was still cooking in ghee in the beginning. I mean, the only reason we don't use ghee in the temple is because it's very expensive. You know, and now, of course, so many things are going on. So many when's in charge, they have to understand how to do things and, of course, how to work within the system of management that's there. You do what you need to do. But, you know, we can always understand, you know, we understand what Prabhupada has to say and try to implement his instructions. You know, who's going to argue, whatever you're cooking in, the fact that prasadam should be available for anyone when they come? This was always an instruction. He says in that letter, we can feed the entire world. So what's the difference? It means if you do that, when you take this kind of outlook, Krishna is a supreme personality of Godhead, Srimati Radharani, she's in charge, I'm just going to do it and depend on them. You open yourself up for, you know, one person could sit down and take prasadam and think, you know, what a wonderful thing that they're doing here. You know, he writes a check. You have to be open for anything to happen. It's going on anyway. So, but again, it's not that we should be necessarily, you know, we can always consult, and we can always talk, and we can show things, and Prabhupada never saw any difficulty, like he said, just distribute distribute books, everything would happen. It's Krishna's, but again, he set up an organization, and he wanted everything to be followed within organization. GBC was there, temple president was there, temple commander was there, devotees were there, everyone should cooperate together in love and trust. They're all details of how to do things. Ultimately, the point is, develop your faith in Krishna. Everyone, that's everyone's point, develop. So in leadership, we have to be able to give that inspiration to others to serve Krishna, depend on Krishna, and go on. The details have to work out. You know, they say, I'm not in a position of management. I come into a place, I'm there for a few days. When people ask me, this is going on, I say, I can't. You know, you have to sit somewhere for a long time to understand what's going on in any particular place. You know, you can't make judgments and say, well, no, this is, should be like this, it should be like this. But principles are there. You know, Prabhupada set up a society, there are certain principles within his society of how things went on. So, you know, as much as we stick to Prabhupada's instructions,